This is Tracy. And this is Sheila, and we are as five fat chicks. And we're coming at you from our car. We tried to record at Starbucks. We honestly gave it a shot. We've never recorded at Starbucks before, and we remember why we don't, because it was...
It's crowded and loud.
Well, it's not the patrons that are loud, it's the crappy pop music that's loud.
To try and cover the discreet conversations of the patrons.
Yes, which it does what it's supposed to do, but we started recording when one song was on and it wasn't too bad, and then this other, like, folksy acoustic guitar song came on with a guy who had a vaguely Dylan-like voice, and
yeah.
It just was cutting right through the recording. So,
and totally distracting us.
Yes, and distracting us. So we left. But we're going to talk about chicken.
Woohoo!
Delicious, delicious chicken. We went to a restaurant that was recommended to Sheila by a fellow where she worked. It's called Chicken Joy. Now, that's spelled C-H-I-C-K-apostrophe-N, Joy. Don't just search on Chicken Joy like you're spelling the whole word chicken, because you're going to come up with a Filipino restaurant, believe it or not.
Ah.
There's a Filipino restaurant, something B, Jollibee, I think. I have it written down here. Yeah, Jollibee. J-O-L-L-I-B-E-E. And they sell chicken there, and their, like, brand of chicken or the name of the dishes
mm-hmm.
are Chicken Joy, C-H-I-C-K-E-N-J-O-Y, all one word.
Gotcha.
So while frantically trying to find information about the place we went to, I kept coming up with these Filipino hits and thought, I don't think it's a Filipino restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But I was confused because they had rice on the menu and it looked like the rice they had at Chicken Joy.
Mm.
But it's two totally separate enterprises.
Okay.
So Chicken Joy, I didn't tell Sheila the history of this place after we went. I told her I was going to save it for a surprise for the podcast.
So she could get my reaction.
Yes.
Realistically.
It was originally conceived of in the United States in the early 60s, but the first restaurant was opened in 1969 in Ontario, in Scarborough.
Really?
Yes, it's Southern Fried Chicken opened up in Canada, pretty much. I didn't realize that it was just a local place. That was the only restaurant for a while. They've just opened up a couple locations. If the website is correct, or rather what I could find online is correct, there's only three locations.
Really? Wow.
Scarborough, Pickering, and Whitby.
Damn.
Yeah. I thought there were more. I thought it was a big chain.
I thought so too.
Yeah. So this is a tiny little chain. They are looking to expand, so if you're an entrepreneur, first give us money. We'd love to have some money to do the podcast. If you've got millions to spend. Or if you're
and
actually...
And then go swank by the sundial again.
Yes.
And then...
then we'll give you a list of things that need done now. But if you're looking to get into a franchise kind of business, check out their website, because they are looking to expand franchises out in the next couple of years.
They have a really good product, we can tell you that.
Amen. So we walk into this place, and it's in this little tiny strip mall out in Whitby by No Frills.
Mm-hmm.
A horrible little parking lot full of people shopping frantically before their children get home from school. Very busy parking lot. We go in. We got in right at the right time. After the lunch rush, before the early dinner people started to come in. So we only had to wait a few minutes. And it looks small. It doesn't look, it looks like a typical fast food place.
Well, even so, it looks like it's, like, not finished.
Yeah.
Like, they're either renovating or they just moved in there or something.
I don't think they're finished renovating it, because it looked like the air conditioning vents hadn't been put back up. They'd been taken down to paint.
Oh, probably.
And they still had to put them back up. So it
seems
fairly
new. I was kind of dubious, because we walked in there, and I'm like, I don't know about all this. Looks kind of fly-by-night.
Little chicken flying past a moon. So we kind of walk in and say, well, maybe we've been steered wrong, but we're here now. We're hungry. We hadn't eaten all morning. It was afternoon. It's time to kind of butch up and see if we have that material for next year's snark episode. Boy, were we wrong. Really, really good food.
Mm.
They have a pretty extensive menu for a chicken place. Because they have sandwiches, they have a burger you can order, they have different chicken sandwiches, they have wings.
Yeah, they don't just have, like, the chicken patty, they also have, like, a pulled chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm. And the grilled chicken sandwich, they do, chicken dinners and chicken combos.
Mm-hmm.
And they had nuggets and they had tenders,
mm-hmm.
which you get the tenders. You can get it as a combo, which has a drink and it usually has a side with it. Or you can go whole hog, which is what we did,
mm-hmm.
and go with the full dinner, which included one of their salads, which isn't a green salad. It's going to be potato salad, bean salad, macaroni salad, or coleslaw.
They're called traditional salads.
Yes, because that's traditionally what you would eat at a picnic where you would eat fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
They had french fries with it and gravy and a biscuit, and then your chicken.
The biscuits.
And it, we'll get to it.
Okay.
I just want to talk about the combo itself, because it was huge. I mean, really.
It wasn't super expensive. It was about what any other fast food place would be, but I'm like, man, I don't know. This seems kind of expensive. Hopefully we don't get ripped off here.
Well, we each got a full dinner. We got a can of soda on the side, and I upped my combo to have to replace one of the pieces in it with a chicken breast, because I like white meat. So the whole thing with taxes came right around $17, which, we're in Canada, you go to McDonald's, I hate to say
it's like
for
15
two people,
bucks anyway.
Yeah, for two people at McDonald's, you're gonna spend between $12 and $15. You go to KFC, you're gonna spend close to $20 for two people. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, not too fussy on that. It was fine. The price was good for what you got, because once we got the food,
oh my
dear
goodness.
Lord. First, the fries. The fries are fresh fries, like chip truck fries. They're fresh cut. You can see the giant bin of
potatoes.
Potatoes and the raw cut fries.
Punched through the grid thing.
Well, she had the big bin of the raw tomatoes, raw potatoes sitting there too, already cut.
Mm.
So you know you're getting good fries, and they tasted like chip truck fries.
They did.
I mean, the ones on the corner of Bloor and Ritson are still better.
Mm.
They're still my favorite, but these ones were really good. And they totally blew any fast food French fry out of the water I've ever had.
Yeah.
Heads and shoulders above the rest. I mean, that alone, if you're looking for something fast foody, but you don't like fast food fries, that will put this place in first place for you.
Yep. At the top of the heap.
Oh, yeah. And then the biscuits.
Oh, goodness.
Go ahead.
Instead of being a flaky Southern-style biscuit, it was like a chewy, doughy biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were buttermilk biscuits, so they definitely had the buttermilk tang. They were really, really good.
Oh, these were not mixed biscuits.
No.
These were, at some point in this process, real buttermilk was involved, because you could taste mm-hmm. it. They were so good. And they were big. They were about twice the size of a regular KFC biscuit if you're in the States.
They were probably, what, 4x4?
Almost, yeah. 3x3, 4x4. They were huge.
Mm-hmm.
And they were
swabbed down with butter.
Mm-hmm. So I asked if they had butter, and she said, well, we already put butter on them. I said, oh, okay, that's fine then. That's more than enough fat for me.
Mm-hmm.
They were delicious.
Because the bottom was, like, it was sweet and kind of, like, crispy. You know how good baked bread is?
I think, good cornbread gets kind of crispy on the bottom
sometimes.
Like that.
And you can taste it as, like, the Maillard reaction.
Yes.
Where the sugars caramelize.
I mean, the only thing missing from this place is cornbread. That mm-hmm. would have made it perfect. But the biscuits are worth going for alone. Don't expect a Southern biscuit, though. Like you said, it's a different animal.
But it's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I would have gone up and gotten more to take home if there hadn't been a huge lineup when we finished eating.
Yeah.
Then the salads, which you said...
I liked my potato salad. It was good. It was a little bit mustardy, and it had chopped up pickles in it. So it's the kind of potato salad that I like.
Yeah. It wasn't a traditional potato salad.
It wasn't whipped smooth. It was, like, rustically chunky.
Yeah.
So that's how I like it.
And I had the coleslaw because I don't really like bean salad. I really don't like macaroni salad. And potato salad is an arch nemesis. So that eliminates a lot of that little category. The coleslaw, though, was not a vinegar coleslaw. It was the minced Southern-style coleslaw they have up here.
Mm-hmm.
It really wasn't bad. It wasn't too mayonnaise-y. It was kind of tangy. They had some kind of other spice or whatever in the dressing.
Mm.
It was crunchy. It was very fresh.
Mm.
And there's a reason for that, too. After browsing their website, I discovered that they only use Canadian produce, Canadian chickens. They try to keep it somewhat, not local, but semi-local.
Yeah.
So they're getting in fresh produce. This isn't processed coleslaw they're just dumping out of a bag. Apparently everything is made fresh every day. The chicken is made fresh every day. They won't use frozen chickens either. So that explains a lot of what we tasted after checking out the site.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because it was really, really good. And the coating on it...
Well, the chicken. Yeah, you had the tenders.
Yeah, I had the tenders. And I did take a bite of your chicken. It wasn't as salty as I thought it was going to be. It was really, really nice. There was like a little bit of herbs and spices in it. But it wasn't like a direct KFC clone. It was its own recipe, and it was really, really nice, especially for people that like low-salt dishes,
mm-hmm.
or you want to add your own so that you can control the amount.
You know, like me.
Yes.
Because I complain about that all the time. It's too salty, so... And I had just the two-piece meal. Sheila had the chicken tenders. Your chicken tenders were all white meat. They looked real.
Because I ripped it in half and showed you that it was just like pieces of white meat that were cut up breaded and fried.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like processed Play-Doh chicken.
Yeah. They looked good. You can get a two-piece, a three-piece, or a four-piece meal. I was almost greedy and got a three-piece meal, and I decided, no, I probably don't need that much chicken. Because I thought, you know, the fries are going to be a little tiny envelope of fries, not the small chip truck fry order. And if you've ever been to a chip truck, you know a small is not really a small.
It's like two cups.
It's like a Wendy's biggie size.
Yeah, if you were to, like, measure it out volumetrically.
Yeah. It's like, what, half a pound of fries probably?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to do weights, it was probably half a pound.
Yeah. So I got the two-piece meal, which you have your choice of ribs, chicken rib, thigh, or two wings to have with it, or a leg. I picked for my two pieces a breast, because you can change it to a breast for 89 cents extra. And then I got
worth it.
Yeah, and I got the two wings. And the wings are the full wings. They don't get cheesy and just give you the drumette or the regular wing. Though I think if you get regular, like, hot wings, they actually are split up mm-hmm. for the count. The chicken breast, it looked small. I picked it up and I looked at it and I thought, like, is that a thigh?
Yeah, because it wasn't perfectly formed. Mm-hmm. It was a very, it's not organic in the way that it was pesticide free or anything, but it was a very, like, natural looking piece of meat. Mm-hmm. It wasn't
as factory farmed.
Yeah.
And I think also that they cut off the rib cage on it, which usually has no meat anyway. It just makes it look big. And after I started pulling it apart, I realized the ribs weren't there. And there's never meat there anyway. So it made sense for them to take that off and use it for making whatever.
Yeah.
And then you just got the big meaty chunk of the breast that was at the top.
The only thing that you had on that wasn't edible was, like, that little piece of cartilage.
Yeah, that runs down the middle.
In the middle. And you ate around that, and mm-hmm. it was good.
Yeah. Hardly any bones left. I mean, the breast was almost boneless.
Yeah.
It was cut so well. They did a good job with that. And the wings were just out of this world. They were big and meaty. There were, like, hunks of white meat hanging off the drumettes, because they mm-hmm. cut them very generously around the joint. The wings were cooked perfectly. They weren't dried out because they'd been cooked too long. So you know how if you cook a bunch of chicken together, the little pieces get all dried out and rubbery and nasty, and the breasts are just done. Or the breasts aren't cooked all the way, and the little pieces are just right. Everything was cooked absolutely perfectly. The breast was juicy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't dry. It wasn't rubbery. You know how you get that funky, the chewing gum texture to it?
Yeah.
It was just tender and perfect. The wings weren't bloody, and they weren't tough. I mean, they fell apart once I started eating them, which meant they were well-cooked, but still delicious.
Yeah, well-cooked, but still moist.
And the most important part, the skin. Really good. This is like if you go to a church picnic or a funeral and somebody makes homemade fried chicken and brings it. And that's kind of what it tasted like. Like, mm-hmm. really good grocery store chicken. It's not quite as good as Skies in Western Pennsylvania in Emlenton.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was darn close.
Oh, yeah. And we can go there anytime.
Yeah. I mean, this will get our skis fixed. And I think we talked about this a couple episodes ago when we did Hagen's. Mm-hmm. But just to cover it for people who didn't, Skis in Western PA.
That's the place that we got the chicken for Spencer's wedding.
Yeah, that's where they ordered the chicken for the wedding.
It was like this crazy little off on a country road
grocery store
thing. And it had like antique butchering equipment hanging on the walls, like old cleavers and stuff.
It looks like it could turn into a horror movie at any second, but the chicken is so good, you're willing to take the chance that it may turn into a horror movie.
Is like right back there, mm-hmm. buying school.
They went out of business for a while, and then they just came back this past year, I think.
Spencer, that's what Spence said.
So they would order chicken, and he said it was really good, just like it used to be, so excellent chicken there, and this is almost as good. So mm-hmm. very, very happy with it. The price was good. The food was excellent. Very fresh. They were busy when we were there, which is a good sign.
There wasn't a spot where there wasn't anybody there.
Yeah. And it was also Mondays and Tuesdays they do a meal deal where you can get the two-piece thigh. Yeah, the two-piece combo, which is a thigh and a
leg.
Yes, leg.
A thigh and a leg.
Yes.
And fries for $2.49.
Yes. It was, a really good deal, but I don't know if everybody who was there for that or not. But mm-hmm. hey, that's like the same deal KFC does.
Yep.
But this wasn't as processed as KFC. It wasn't as greasy. None of it felt greasy either,
No,
really.
It didn't. I wasn't like compulsively wiping my hands with napkins.
No.
And getting worried that acne was going to break out all over my face.
Or your fingertips.
Yeah.
I mean, the biscuits had a little bit of grease to them, but the chicken was fairly greaseless. The fries were drained properly. Everything was mm-hmm. nice and, I'm not going to say healthy, because it's not healthy. It's
no, but obviously they were using the oil properly.
Exactly.
They made sure that the oil got to the right temperature before they threw everything in. They didn't overload the fryer so that the oil came right back up to temperature to make sure that it sealed the crispy outside and kept all the moisture inside without having it be greasy.
Yes. Now, you know when you go to a fast food place and you see the front and there's the register and the drink coolers or the drink fountains and a place to get fries and everything, and then you can see the kitchen in the back, and it looks like a fast food kitchen setup where you have your make tables and your fryers and your microwaves and all of that, and it doesn't really look like a real kitchen because you can't do any real cooking in it.
Yeah, it's like all fast food appliances.
Exactly. On the way to the bathroom, you could see into the kitchen, and I kind of just gandered past nice and slow, took a gander nice and slow, and it looked like a real kitchen back there. I mean, they even had a dough, an industrial dough mixer, like the one at Dookie Dough. Yeah,
set up. Making the biscuits.
So it's almost like a lot of the cooking's done in the back, like real cooking style, not fast food, just to dumb it down as far as we can for anybody to be able to make it.
Right.
And then it's brought up into the holding area up front. So that was also very heartening, too. I like mm-hmm. that. I'd love to see that trend in more fast food restaurants.
Yeah. Overall, the food was amazing. Mm-hmm. Good quality, good price, tasted amazing.
Thank God it's not closer to the apartment.
Otherwise, it would be bad.
I told Sheila said that, and I said, yeah, it's not like it's, you know, right across the street here. I said, that would be bad. Because then you'd have to ask, Tracy, how did you gain 50 pounds in 2 months? And my answer would be, om nom 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 nom. Then you'd have to say, Tracy, could you please take the biscuits out of your mouth while you're talking to us? Because mm-hmm. that's all I do, is eat their biscuits all day. I also want to talk a little bit about the history of fried chicken. Because it's a food that everyone's afraid to talk about because they're worried about offering a racial offense.
Right.
And we did a little bit of research online. A tiny iota of research. I'm not talking crazy amounts because we hit a roadblock that we're going to bulldoze through later on.
Yeah. We have an interesting lead. We just have to go to the library.
Yes, we found a journal.
Quick, to the library.
Ha ha. We found a journal online. It's called Southern Culture, and it's a sociological kind of journal. And they had an issue of it, I'm sorry, back in the winter of 2009, where they did a lot of articles about Southern food and Southern cooking. I found this by flipping through Wikipedia, and I followed the link, because mm-hmm. that's what Wikipedia is really good for if people ever rag on you for using it. You read the article to get a general overview in Wikipedia, then you go down to the little links at the bottom where they cited their sources, and you go there and do stuff.
Yeah.
Which is what I was doing. And we're really excited. We want to get our hands on a copy of that journal. We're either going to order a copy if we can get a hold of them and find out how much it is, or we think if we did it right, there's an issue in Toronto at the one library we'll go check out sometime soon. Mm-hmm. Possibly do a whole episode about Southern food based on that journal. But the information they were citing from that journal was about the history of fried chicken.
Right.
And
we wondered, where does it come from?
Did it really originate in the South? Did it really originate with slaves? Yes, it did. Now, frying became more popular because of the surplus of pigs.
Okay.
Because people fried were keeping lard. More pigs because they were feeding them garbage. Mm-hmm. Back in the 18th and 19th centuries, they had
They're
more
inexpensive
lard.
To keep because exactly. the amount of food that you have to feed them them to put on pounds of flesh is really, really, really low.
Yes, and then once you have the pounds of flesh and you render down the lard, you have this delicious, delicious, delicious cooking liquid you need to do things with. Mm-hmm. Now, you tie that into the fact that slaves weren't allowed to keep many animals, but they were allowed to keep chickens. Mm-hmm. And chickens are also another animal that are kind of like a garbage animal. They'll eat almost anything.
Yeah, well, they forage a lot of their own stuff. They eat grubs and worms and insects and stuff.
Yes.
I mean, you can give them grain, but if you let them go on their own, they'll pretty much almost feed themselves.
Yes, and they won't get too crazy and feral and grow tusks like pigs will if you let them go wild.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit safer. But that was one animal that slaves were allowed to keep. And I do vaguely remember a little bit of information about this back in college, but it didn't really stick. Mm-hmm. So because they could keep that, and frying is such an economical way of cooking, and it's also a high-calorie way of cooking, when it comes to energy, you really get
energy
your
for
most
effort.
Bang for your buck out of frying, deep frying or shallow frying, because mm-hmm. the grease is adding what you need in calorie wise. And let's face it, if you were a slave in the American South, you needed every calorie you could lay your hands on.
Exactly. Anybody mm-hmm. before World War II needed all the calories they could get just to live, to be fair. But you're right.
Unless anybody your last name was Rockefeller or Carnegie, you needed to fry stuff.
Exactly. But especially somebody that was working in agriculture and not being paid for it.
Yes. Then you definitely needed it. So then you throw on top of all of that the fact that a lot of the slaves, when they came in from, whether it was the West Indies, if they came up through that route, or if they actually came straight from Africa, they brought with them some unique cooking traditions and spices. They brought mm-hmm. from the taste for certain spices and certain herbs that weren't necessarily a part of the American culinary culture by that point.
Right.
So that's where you get the whole secret herbs and spices from KFC thing. Some of the spices and herbs that were used in making fried chicken originated from that culture. Hmm. So it is an original African-American dish, if you were ever doubting it. Now, the negative connotations came from some of the heavy-handed ads from some of the restaurants later on, like I think Sambo's or something, and some of the blackface minstrel stuff.
Right.
And because they relied so hard on this, hammering those stereotypes in some of the comedic routines as well of chicken and chitterlings and things.
Right.
That's where the negative connotation came from. But you can almost say in the 70s and on, it's kind of been taken back and reclaimed.
Right.
And redefined as soul food.
Yeah.
So
that's, I think that's fair to say.
So that's something we had kind of talked about and we didn't know how to tackle it.
You don't really
know
how to say it because you don't want to offend anybody.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you're thinking, it seems like wherever you find a lot of black people, you find really good
especially
chicken.
In the South.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't want to make broad racial generalizations. But at the same time, you're like, usually there's really good food where those people like to eat.
Yeah. So
it's like positive racism, but you still don't want that connotation.
Yes. Well, it's the same paradigm of if you see a lot of local people eating at a particular restaurant, it's probably going to be pretty good. Up here, because we're so into the Asian food culture, mm-hmm. we see a lot of Asian people eating at some place that's Asian, like at the Ginger and Onion.
Yeah.
We say, by God, it must be good if people from China go there to eat real Chinese food.
Right.
So in the South, if you see a lot of black people eating someplace, like at Prince's, where they have fried chicken, then you know it must be good because that is their dish. Much like for my ancestry, pierogies are our dish.
Mm-hmm.
And for your ancestry, beer is your dish. Because Sheila's mostly Irish. I'm kidding. But yeah, you get the idea. So we just wanted to touch on that and totally throw the paradigm on its ear because when I walked by and looked back at the kitchen, there was a little old Asian lady cooking back there.
Mm-hmm.
But she was doing a darn fine job.
Exactly. Well, we have already established that it doesn't matter where you were born or where you grew up. You can cook any culinary genre that you want.
Exactly.
It doesn't take somebody French to cook French. It doesn't take somebody Japanese to make sushi. Anybody can cook.
Especially now.
Mm-hmm.
And the exception to that rule is if you meet an older person from that background, there's a good chance they're going to be able to blow you away by cooking their own culture's food.
Just because they've been doing it for so long.
50
it's just
years.
Sheer experience.
Exactly.
Like, it's probably something that their parents and grandparents taught them.
So. Yeah, they started, you know, making biscuits when they were 6 or making pierogies when they were 10 or 12 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So
that's not to say that they couldn't
teach
go,
somebody,
or that they couldn't learn another culture's cooking and be amazing at it.
Yeah. Well, look at you learning how to make pasca.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, you make
really
good pasca.
I make really good Eastern European bread.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is either, but I'm not going to turn it down because God knows I can't make it to save my life.
See, my people said potatoes are for eating, wheat is for drinking. And your people said wheat is for eating,
potatoes are
for
drinking. So now that we've been really racially inappropriate for half of the episode, if you have any complaints, send them to zwyfatchicks@gmail.com or visit www.zwyfatchicks.podbean.com and give us your angry feedback or meet us at Facebook and give us your angry feedback. We'd love to hear it. We do hope to get some more information on the Southern culture and cooking of all racial ethnicities soon. I'm really intrigued by that. I didn't know there was a whole journal dedicated to Southern culture that had issues about the culinary scene and the history of that. So we'll do our homework and hopefully have an episode for you sometime soon about that.
I'd also like to do maybe an episode about Appalachian cooking.
Yes.
Because that's really it's a hybrid of what people from Ireland, England, and Scotland brought.
We are totally going to have to find the journals online and, like, mail Jesse money and say, hey, go to the library at WVU and photocopy this for us and mail it back up.
Yes.
So, one last tidbit. I need to eat a little bit of crow here. And I had Swiss Chalet the other day.
It's not a very big crow. Don't make it up like it's something huge.
I know, but I've been really negative about it for a while because I got food poisoning the only time I ever ate there.
It's only a baby crow.
They ordered a crow egg. It's a crow omelet.
There you go.
They had ordered it at work for us, and I had gotten the quarter chicken dinner, and I was surprised to say it was pretty good.
And she didn't get food poisoning.
And I didn't get food poisoning. The potatoes were good. The chicken was good. Not as good as Hagen's.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't touch Hagen's. It doesn't even come close. But it's better than most grocery store rotisserie chicken. The only thing I didn't like was
the barbecue sauce.
The sauce that came on the side, the dipping sauce. It just tasted like cornstarch.
Yeah.
It didn't really have a flavor to it. The stuff at Hagen's, which was a tomato-based one, was really good. This stuff was just there in case the chicken was dry.
So Chalet is adequate?
It is adequate.
But no longer reviled?
No longer reviled. Perhaps I will eat there again soon. So, anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. It's a great wide world out there. I'm not done exploring it yet.
It's a chickeny episode. This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila. And we're Zwy Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this Five Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.